Hi, this is Kevin Connolly from the hit TV show Entourage. And when I'm in the tri-state area, I listen to EmpireBroadcastingGroup.com.
Empire Broadcasting presents the Professionals Roundtable with Muriel Donnelly, 9 to 2 p.m. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable, 9 to 2 p.m. exclusively on Empire Broadcasting.
Good morning and welcome to Empire Broadcasting. I'm your host, Muriel Donnelly, and this morning we have a wonderful gentleman joining us. He is the owner at Commercial Motor Vehicle Consulting from Manhasset, New York. Please welcome to the show, Chris Brady.
How you doing, Muriel?
Welcome to the show, Chris. How are you this morning?
Very good. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Very good indeed. So, Chris, I want to start off by basically talking a little bit about you, just so that you can give myself and our listeners out there a little insight into yourself, a little bit of background, and then we can go on to talk about your company, Commercial Motor Vehicle Consulting. What's your background? How long have you been the owner at this company?
I started the business in 1999. Before starting it, I worked for Martin Labby Associates, where I was vice president, chief economist, and we did marketing analysis for commercial vehicle manufacturers and component suppliers. I decided to leave that company and start my own business, and we do work for the commercial vehicle industry. We do work for vehicle makers, trailer producers, leasing companies, component and parts makers, oil companies regarding motor oil, finance companies. So we're in all segments. We work with all companies that are in the commercial vehicle segment.
Right. So let me find out from you, because I'm just going to be a layman right now, so I'm going to ask you questions that you might be like, oh my God, what does your company do? What does your company actually do?
So one of the things we do is we do forecasts. So we do outlooks for truck sales by the size of the truck. So what's considered a heavy duty truck would be a mixer or a dump truck, an over-the-road tractor trailer, and we go down all the way to the low end of the commercial vehicle segment, which would be like a Ford F-350 heavy-duty pickup. So we forecast sales volumes North America, so we do U.S., Canada, and Mexico, and exports from North America for vehicle makers and their component suppliers. So someone who makes suspensions for the vehicles or the engines, transmissions, we do work for them also. And we also do proprietary research for companies regarding new products and what the sales volumes are going to be for them. We also help them in marketing, what channel of distribution do they want to sell the product through the truck dealers or independent channels. And we also forecast parts aftermarket sales. So how many tires are going to be replaced in the tractor trailer segment of the industry in 2017?
Okay. And so, all right, so now I know a little bit more about the company. I feel much better now. So what kind of companies come to you and ask you for help? So when you're talking about like the vehicle makers and the research into the sales forecast. So say for instance, and I'm going to be talking just like a regular car sales company, for instance, if I go up on 110, et cetera, or Jericho, and there's like a whole heap of car sale companies there. Are those the kind of companies potentially who may come to you and ask for your help so that they know how many vehicles they should get in for the course of the year, et cetera?
Now, we deal with the corporate, so we'll deal with Mack Corporate, Volvo Corporate, Cummins Engine Corporate, and we help on their business and strategic plans. So
right.
What's the sales forecast for the next 5 years? do they have enough capacity in place to meet that volume, or they have to expand plants or even build plants. So we help on their budgeting, investment decisions.
Okay. All right. So now I understand a little bit more about it. I feel much better then. Because I was like, I can talk and I can ask you questions, but if I don't know what we're talking about, I'm going to be completely baffled. So now that I know a little bit more about it, let's talk about the I want to talk a bit about the development and sales of alternative fuels vehicles. Now, that's one of the topics that we're going to talk about today is to discussing the development and sales of alternative fuel vehicles driven by government regulations to reduce vehicle emissions. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so what's happened over the last 10 to 15 years as government regulations have reduced the amount of emissions, and I'll say coming out of like the tailpipe. Mm-hmm. So, and with commercial vehicles, as a vehicle gets bigger, the operator tends to be driving a truck powered by a diesel engine. And mm-hmm. diesel engines are dirtier than gasoline. So there's been a lot of investment by the engine makers to reduce emissions coming out of the tailpipe to meet government regulations. And they've adopted different technologies to meet those requirements. And it was supposed to be in 2004, but they got caught. Same thing as Volvo did recently is the government alleges that the diesel engine makers were programming the vehicles to meet the government's test. But when the vehicle went actually out into the field and operated normally, it was emitting emissions above the government standard. So just as Volvo got fined, they fined the diesel engine makers in early 2000s and also made them step up their release of new engine technology, which was called exhaust gas recirculation. And since it really wasn't field tested, there was a lot of problems when those vehicles went out into the road, and it took a few years to correct that. And then in 2007, they had to adopt another technology to meet government regulations, and that was diesel particulate filters. And these filters are pretty expensive. Corning makes some of the filters, and they're about like $3,000, so they're pretty expensive. Mm-hmm. And then in 2010, they adapted another technology to meet tighter regulations, and that's called SCR. And all these new technologies, they increased the price of a truck by like 30-35% over the last several years. So,
wow.
Yeah, diesel engine trucks have gotten a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
And what that's done is made the alternate fuels now a bit more competitive against the diesels.
Right. How much do these vehicles cost?
So you got your over-the-road tractor, and if it has like a sleeper cab, it goes for about $140,000.
Wow.
And that's before the federal government has a 13% excise tax on it. And then you have the state sales tax. So these things are pretty expensive.
It's crazy because, like, you know, unless you're in the industry, you don't look at these vehicles and you don't imagine their cost. But that's ridiculous. I want to ask some more questions, but I want to take a very quick commercial break before we do that. So just to remind all our listeners out there that our wonderful guest this morning is Chris Brady, and he is the owner at Commercial Motor Vehicle Consulting from Manhasset, New York. Please go visit his website, which is www.cmvinfo.com. Stay tuned. We'll be back shortly.
Are you one of the millions of Americans suffering from chronic joint or muscle pain? If so, get to the source of your pain. Orthopedic Physical Therapy Incorporated, located at 2000 Bremo Road, Suite 202 in Richmond, Virginia. Orthopedic Physical Therapy specializes in getting to the source of your chronic aches and pains through one-on-one, individualized treatments, including hands-on manual therapy. Orthopedic Physical Therapy uses the most up-to-date and effective methods to treat musculoskeletal dysfunction, back pain, pelvic pain, or any other chronic ailments that you just can't seem to shake. Not to mention, Orthopedic Physical Therapy is proud to be one of the first clinics in the state of Virginia to offer trigger point dry needling. For more information about our products and services, visit our website at www.orthopedicptinc.com or dial 804-285-0148. You don't have to live with chronic aches and pains. Improve your quality of life and get back in the game with Orthopedic Physical Therapy, where we get to the source of your pain.
Feel a little distant, a little disconnected, stressed, and not able to focus? Does this describe your child or teen? Don't wait any longer. Reach out and start feeling connected, self-confident, restore your child, restore your teen, restore yourself. Go to BlossomWholeFamilyTherapy.com or find us on Facebook at Blossom Whole Family. Blossom Whole Family Therapy and Child Psychology Center, cultivating strength and resilience for your whole family.
Empire Broadcasting presents The Professionals Roundtable with Muriel Donnelly, 9 to 2 p.m. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable, 9 to 2 p.m. exclusively on Empire Broadcasting.
Good morning and welcome back to Empire Broadcasting. I'm your host, Muriel Donnelly, and our wonderful guest this morning is the owner at Commercial Motor Vehicle Consulting from Manhasset, New York. Please welcome back Chris Brady. Welcome back, Chris. Now, before our break there, you were talking to us and you were basically telling us how with the new regulations, the vehicle prices have increased by more than 35% over the last few years. Now, with that, obviously, is that going to affect the prices of the other things such as diesel and gasoline? Do we have an effect where those prices are going to go up, et cetera?
Well, it doesn't affect the prices of that, but what it does affect with those new technologies to reduce vehicle emissions, it does affect the maintenance of the vehicles. So maintenance has gone up with these new technologies. And so you have increase in the vehicle price, you got increase in maintenance costs. And then, a few years back, we had crude oil at over $100 a barrel. So you got a significant increase in diesel fuel prices. That all led to a much higher ownership cost for diesel vehicles, which made alternate fuel vehicles now more competitive.
Wow. So basically, all it takes is for one thing price to go up, and now everything else grows up. So I assume that within that package of all the things that are going up would be all the extras as well that maybe the vehicle, the extra supplies, etc. Did the price of those things go up as well?
Yeah, like they had a, some of the technology developed. They had it like they increased the heat underneath the hood of the truck, so they had to re-engineer like starters and alternators to now handle higher temperatures under the hood and hoses. So that increased the prices then for those parts when you go to replace it. And at the same time, you had the federal government, the Obama administration, now start to put a lot of tax credits towards fleets that purchased alternate fuel vehicles. So on one side, you got increased costs for diesel vehicles, and then the government, to make alternate fuel vehicles more affordable, started giving like grants to buy them and tax credits. So they started to reduce the price difference between the two vehicles.
Okay. Now, can you give us an example of the the alternative fuels and the vehicles as well.
Sure. And there's a ton of alternate fuel vehicles out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have all electric vehicles, which is battery operated, and then when they're not operating, you plug them in and recharge the battery. And there's a Chinese company called BYD, and they manufacture all electric buses in California because California has such strict emission standards. Mm-hmm. And then you have the hybrids where you have like a small gasoline or diesel engine, and what that basically does is just recharge the battery when the battery runs low, and the battery sends electric motors to run the vehicle. And then you have compressed natural gas, and a lot of New York City buses run on compressed natural gas. And then you have liquid natural gas, which is kind of the same as compressed natural gas, it's just in a liquid form, so you can put more in a fuel tank. And over-the-road tractor trailers might use liquid natural gas since they run such long miles. And believe it or not, they have propane auto gas, just like your barbecue. you run the vehicle off propane.
Wow.
Yeah. And then what some of the companies are doing, like waste companies, is from the landfill, they're getting methane gas out of the landfill.
Oh, God, help us.
And they're running the vehicles on what's called renewable diesel, which is just methane gas that they're getting out of the landfill. So there's all sorts of alternate fuel vehicles. And one company is coming out with a over-the-road tractor trailer that's going to run on hydrogen fuel cells.
Right. It's ridiculous when you think – and to be honest with you, you know, I'm sure – you know, everyone out there knows of a couple of things, but it's amazing when we're listening to you talk about it. Like I was completely unaware of all the different types of fuel alternatives that were out there. It's absolutely amazing. It's jaw dropping. Now, are there any concerns with these alternative fuel vehicles? Have they come across any issues? Are there going to be any concerns with these new vehicles and the fuel?
Yeah, I mean, some of the issues is if you get these compressed natural gas and liquid natural gas and, you know, this methane gas is you have to invest in your repair shops for gas leaks and things of that nature, so you don't blow up the maintenance shop as you work on these vehicles. So it's not like you just purchase this vehicle and then you don't have to do anything regarding maintenance, because you do have to improve probably the ventilation in your maintenance shops when working on these vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not just I purchase this, I'm going to run that. And you know, I mean, obviously any of these alternate fuels, you got to have availability of the fuel in your operating area. So that's also a critical purchasing decision with regards to truck operators. You know, is there a compressed natural gas refueling station in the area for me to refuel my vehicle?
Right.
You know, I mean, you're not going to take off your barbecue thing and put it in your truck and run it and then come home and fire up a hot dog.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, that's you know what, you just made a good point there. Like, I mean, like with all these these alternative fuels, you need to make sure that it's available to you.
Absolutely.
Now how? I mean, like, I'm just. I mean, you know.
I had a company call me up one time. They were developing a, I think it was compressed natural gas fueling system, and you know the guy told me he was going to change the world. And I asked what vocation was he planning on selling it to, and he said the over-the-road tractor fleet, since they burn the most fuel. And I'm like, they're not likely going to buy it. And he's like, why not? I can reduce their fuel cost by, like, you know, 70%. I said, there's not many fueling stations around, so the guy's going to drive 300 miles and run out of gas, and then,
Right.
Yeah. So that's a critical decision.
Great idea, but unfortunately you can't execute it because of a few things like that, like logistics and stuff. I have to say it's crazy because I never think about like big trucks and all these vehicles and stuff because, you know, like your average person, you know, wherever you live, you don't, you know, you see them maybe occasionally, but it's not the same. Now it's funny because when I think about all these things, I think about like in England and in Europe, we all have like small vehicles over there because like for so long, I mean, my husband, he's like, the first time he came over to England and we were in Europe, he's like, what the heck? And he was like, you know, just laughing at the size of our vehicles over there. But having said that, when I first came over to the States, I was like, what do people need such big vehicles for? I was like, what the hell's going on? I was like, where am I? You know, it's like, because your vehicles, like literally, I mean, like our cars are so small over there. But we have very strict laws about things like that. And like, you know, everything is like because of the vehicle and the emissions, et cetera, like, you know, sometimes we have it where like certain families can only have like maybe two cars per household, maybe three, depending on how large the family is. But we have certain guidelines. Is this country going to have anything like that? Because, you know, do you think that the States is ever going to have anything like that with regards to because of the emission fuels and stuff like that?
I don't see them having limiting ownership or the size of the vehicle. But the regulations they put towards meeting like fuel economy standards and things like that will impact the size of the vehicles and that the manufacturers designed to meet those standards. Mm-hmm. So while the government might not directly say, you know, your vehicle has to be this size, as they put these emission standards towards the vehicle makers, to meet those standards, they're going to have to adjust vehicles. So right now there's a large push on the heavy trucks to improve aerodynamics and take weight out of the vehicle. So there's more aluminum going into the vehicles and less steel and things of that nature. And probably you'll see in the future carbon fiber in certain areas to take weight out of it to improve fuel economy. So the government is definitely impacting the way vehicles are designed by their emission standards.
Right. Well, I mean, it's amazing talking to you because there are so many people out there making so many decisions, and it's crazy because like somewhere there's somebody sitting down with pen and paper, you know, writing down things, and there's a person next to them on a computer trying to figure it out, and then somewhere there's a vehicle that's been, I don't know, they're doing experiments and crashing it against a brick wall or something. And and at the end of the day, there's you, and you help forecast the sales and stuff of this. Now, have you noticed a big change since you started the company in 1999? What's the one or two biggest changes that you've noticed since 1999?
Probably the biggest change has been regarding the engine technology, the increase in truck prices, what's that happened to ownership. So for the smaller vehicles, the increase in the truck prices has made the truck operators operate the vehicles for a longer period of time. They can't replace them at the same rate they used to just due to the increased price. And what's happening on the over-the-road side is they're consolidating and things of that nature to, again, economies of scale regarding the increase in maintenance cost and things of that nature. So there's been significant changes in the vehicles and how they operate to meet these emission standards, and that's only going to continue. And alternate fuel vehicles will continue to grow. But for the foreseeable future on the heavy end, diesel will be the predominant engine, and at the lower end it will be a mixture of gas and diesel, because the engine makers are improving the diesel engine. So while alternate fuel vehicles are growing, the diesel engine makers aren't standing still. They're improving and reducing right. emissions coming out of those engines.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for all of that. It's been very, very, very informative. I'm telling you that much. And I feel like I've just come into like a little, my own private little meeting. And I've had like this full half hour education going on right now. But for all our listeners out there, just to remind you that our wonderful guest this morning has been Chris Brady, and he is the owner at Commercial Motor Vehicle Consulting from Manhasset, New York. Please go visit his website, which is www.cmvinfo.com. You can also email him at cmvc1@verizon.net. Alternatively, give them a call. The phone number is 516-869-5954. Again, thank you so much for being with us this morning, Chris. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on our show.
Thanks for your time.
Empire Broadcasting presents the Professionals Roundtable with Muriel Donnelly, 9 to 2 p.m. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable, 9 to 2 p.m. exclusively on Empire Broadcasting.
So you see, son, good manners are very, very important. Someday, many years from now, when you're a grown-up, you'll be a man. And when you are, you should be a gentleman. Do you want me to go through it one more time?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Exactly. Always say please, thank you, you're welcome, and excuse me. Sit up straight, hold doors open for ladies. If a door's shut, then knock first. Don't burp, don't swear, don't speak with your mouth full, don't reach across people's plates, keep your elbows off the table.
What table?
And don't interrupt. While we're at it, don't stare, don't use foul language, don't call people names, but do remember people's names. Always share your toys, play nice, and cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze. On the bus, give up your seat to anyone who has trouble standing. Bottom line, treat others the way you'd like to be treated. Got it?
Got it.
And stop picking your nose.
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.